The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. Do thank you for tuning into our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple and Android devices. We do thank AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn about Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders and the latest in treatments for these particular ailments. It is Saturday, July the 19th, and we are broadcasting our radio show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the July-August issue, The Best of Times, at one of our 270 distribution locations. We do thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy of our magazine at one of the 270 distribution locations, you can always visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues. You can listen to previously broadcast radio shows here on The Best of Times Radio Hour. In addition, you can download and view the 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a special newsletter via e-blast over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue, but also provides them with additional educational material and information that is not included in our printed copy of The Best of Times magazine. In addition, there are discounts, coupons, contests, and of course, news about upcoming events. Join the many, many thousands who are receiving this newsletter each and every month via their email. You can subscribe free of charge by just going to our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, and give us your email address, and you'll start receiving this free TBT newsletter. Got some great news. Ernest Arlene's has brought back the Best of Times special dinner every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing, with fabulous meals at a highly discounted price, along with entertainment, of course, free valet parking. It is highly recommended, due to the popularity of this Thursday night Best of Times special, to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. In addition, I've got some super great news to tell everyone. We have finalized the upcoming 2025 Senior Day Expo, that will take place this year on Thursday, October the 30th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the fabulous Live Casino and Hotel, located in Bossier City. So we are very thrilled that they're going to be hosting our event. And again, it will be take place. Mark your calendars. More information will be found soon on our website, as well as in our magazine and in the TBT newsletter. But mark your calendar. Of course, it's going to be free parking, free admission. Going to have over 120 exhibitors there, lots of free entertainment, lots of fun, lots of door prizes. And we're going to give away some $1,000 grand prize door prizes, but you got to be present to win. So again, we're going to have a lot of great entertainment. It's going to be a little bit longer, so we can have more entertainment, more fun, and more context for each of you. So again, pick up the upcoming issue of The Best of Times to gain more information about our 2025 Senior Day Expo that will take place on Thursday, October the 30th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Live Casino, located in Bossier City. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to The Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Bears Standing Country Ocean Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Galigas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show today are two important and well-renowned guests on my show is Miss Elizabeth Disprow, the doctor, and she's the director of the Center of Brain Health and assistant professor of neurology at LSU Health here in Shreveport, and Dr. Harlene Carr, who is a physician and a clinical assistant professor of neurology at LSU Health in Shreveport. So thank you, ladies, for joining us today. And they're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders and the latest in treatment and diagnosis of these particular disorders. So thank you, ladies, for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Gary, for having us.
So the fundamental question I think our listeners are out, and including me, a lot of people don't understand. So what is Parkinson's disease? Who wants to answer that? Just go ahead.
Parkinson's disease is a disease of the brain. It affects the brain. It affects the motor areas of the brain. When we say motor, it is the movement areas. So it slows down the movements. With Parkinson's disease, you see the dopamine levels in the brain deplete, and that affects the movements. So the slowness, the tremors, the shuffling, the walking problems, those can happen with Parkinson's. When we talk about Parkinson's, it not just affects the movements, but it also affects the other things. And what are these other things? We call them as non-motor symptoms, and they include sleep problems. To be a little bit precise about these sleep problems, some of them include acting out the dreams. And this is interestingly something which studies have shown that this can be seen way before the actual Parkinson's symptoms start, like tremors, shuffling, walking problems, so forth. So they can have sleep problems, they can have memory problems, they can sometimes have trouble swallowing. Constipation can be seen with Parkinson's. Sense of smell can be affected with Parkinson's. So those are some of the major things that does get affected with Parkinson's disease.
So how early, what's the early onset? Young people get this?
Yes, about 20 to 30% of younger population has been seen with Parkinson's. That's the incidence rate right now. With the younger population, the symptoms can be sometimes a little bit different than what they present in older population. They may or may not have tremors, but what they can have in the early on features is what we call as dystonias. Dystonias are, dys means abnormal, tonia means tone, so abnormal tone of the muscles. So the abnormal tone of the muscles can cause spasms in the hands, spasms in the legs, and they can be some of the early features for Parkinson's in younger people, besides of the tremors, besides of the walking problems, and so forth.
I've never heard you mentioned something earlier just caught my attention. It's sleep. It causes sleep problems?
It does.
To stay asleep or not to go to sleep?
So people can have trouble falling asleep, but more than that, they can have trouble maintaining sleep. With Parkinson's, you are stiff and slow. So most of the people with Parkinson's, they say that, you know, the position I sleep in, I wake up in that position because they have trouble turning, they have trouble getting out of the bed, going in the bed, so forth. And apart from that, we do see what is called as RBD, or REM behavior disorder.
Okay.
REM sleep is a stage of deep sleep, which happens every 90 minutes. And ideally, in a healthy individual, in the REM sleep, the body is calm. So if you have any dreams, you know, you may remember them in the morning, but you're not going to act out the dreams. But with Parkinson's, we lose that ability. And so if we have any dreams, which most people with Parkinson's do have vivid dreams, they act out those dreams. So in terms of that, they would kick, punch, or yell in the dreams. And that is something most people would not recognize, but the bed partners are the ones who would know about that first. Interestingly, RBD can be seen way before these actual symptoms for Parkinson's start. And studies have shown this. If someone has these symptoms of REM behavior disorder, we like to keep an eye on them just to see follow-up in the movement
disorder. So if an individual doesn't have enough REM sleep or the deep REM sleep?
They do have good REM sleep, but the muscle tone is quite active in the REM sleep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting. So how do you doctors diagnose that? So when should a person or a family member come and visit you to get possibly diagnosed with this?
For Parkinson's?
For Parkinson's.
So when we see people in the clinic, some of them, in fact, most of them have their first symptoms as tremors. Most tremors with Parkinson's disease are what we call as rest tremors, which means that when they are sitting down doing nothing, they're going to see the hand is shaking. Doesn't happen all the time is what they're going to say, but they see it mostly when they're still and calm. Interestingly, the tremor with Parkinson's is always one side more than the other. So they'll have more often one side affected more than the other.
So one, your left hand or right
hand.
So it's going to be
more on one side than the other.
So it's not symmetrical, the shape.
Not in the beginning stages, yes. So tremors is one of the very common features for Parkinson's. Apart from that, people may have walking problems. They shuffle their feet. They drag their feet when they walk. And then trouble turning. Most of the people say that their feet get stuck when they have to turn, and they don't feel like that the feet are listening to the brain and the legs are not moving. That's called a classic freezing with Parkinson's. So their leg freezes on them when they have to turn. So those are some of the initial symptoms that you can see with Parkinson's disease.
So is there a scan done, or is there a blood work that markers can tell you somebody has a certain staging?
Absolutely. So Parkinson's ideally is a clinical diagnosis, which means neurologists specializing in movement disorders, they can diagnose or establish the diagnosis of Parkinson's by the clinical exam itself. But there are specialized tests available now to help determine the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. One of them is the DAT scan, the DAT scan, which is the dopamine transporter scan. It helps to see which areas of the brain are depleted with dopamine. As I said, with Parkinson's, the dopamine levels drop, and that helps to determine the diagnosis. Apart from that, there are other kinds of markers too. There is a skin biopsy test, which is used to find the alpha-synuclein, which helps to determine a different kind of Parkinson's disease or an atypical Parkinson's disease too. It is a little difficult to define on the basis of tests what kind of Parkinson's we are dealing with, but we do that more so on the clinical diagnosis basis, so seeing them every day on the clinic basis. So
doctor, you mentioned something real interesting, that there are different types of Parkinson's.
Yeah.
I thought there was only one type of Parkinson's.
Yeah, there are different types of Parkinson's. What we classically see is the typical Parkinson's disease with the tremors, the slowness, and so forth. But there is a different realm to Parkinson's disease, which are the atypical Parkinson's. The atypical Parkinson's disease is more, which progresses a little bit faster, which involves the balance, the walking a little bit more sooner than the typical Parkinson's, which involves falls a little bit more than the typical Parkinson's disease.
Elizabeth, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, there's a new test. I'm a researcher, so I'm always keen on all the latest developments.
Mm-hmm.
And the Michael J. Fox Foundation just found a biomarker for Parkinson's disease. It's a measure of alpha-synuclein, the protein that misfolds in Parkinson's, sort of like plaques and tangles in Alzheimer's disease. And they can now test it in people who are not having any symptoms and be able to tell if that person is at risk for, is on the pathway of developing the disease. And so it has revolutionized how we're testing for drugs, all the research, the whole research side, because there are so many different types of movement disorders, and we're not 100% sure up until then that the person had Parkinson's disease, it was hard to test if we gave a medication or something and it didn't work. Maybe it's because they had an atypical Parkinson's disease, that sort of thing. And so this just happened within the last year, and it's really going to accelerate.
So it is available at LSU?
It is. It's used for research now. They're racing it to market, so we don't have it yet. But
So it's not.
We expect it's coming.
So how does one be part of the research. You can be one of the persons that it's looked at?
Yes. So there's clinicaltrials.gov is a website where you can go and look up and type in the type of disease that you're looking for and figure out where the drug tests and things are going on. We're not doing a drug test right now. We've been in negotiations with some different companies. We want to make sure that we pick a drug that's really likely to work before we sign up.
Exactly.
And that's what we've been debating.
So there are different drugs? There are several of them?
There are, for both Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease, there are a lot of drugs coming through the testing phase.
Wow.
And now, so being able to use this biomarker has made it a lot faster. So
explain to listeners what a biomarker is.
Yes, a biomarker is something that you can measure that goes up and down with the treatment. So, for example, if you have an infection and we can measure the bacteria in the infection and then we give you an antibiotic and we see that bacteria goes down, which is good,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's something like that reflects the disease process. You know, in that case, it's an infection, but it can be for Parkinson's or any disease. So that's one of the things that we've had trouble with in studying neurodegenerative diseases is that we don't have a lot of biomarkers. So we're kind of shooting in the dark, but that's changing. That's really changing.
That's good. Another good news.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that. I like when medical technology and medical science finds these inroads that, you know, have never been done before. And hopefully LSU will be one of those, LSU Medical School will be one of those primary areas that will continue the research and continue application.
Absolutely.
Okay, a side question. So we did the biomarkers, but have they looked at gene therapy, any kind of gene disorders that could cause Parkinson? All these other illnesses that I've been hearing now, everything's, you know, an aberrant gene or an aberrant, et cetera, et cetera.
Liz, do you want to say there is a lot of gene-related research going on? So
yes, there. And in fact, we are heavily involved in
exactly,
the genetic research.
Yes,
so if you have Parkinson's disease and you want to get free genetic counseling, you can volunteer to be in our study. We have two of them going on right now. One is through the Parkinson's Foundation, and it's called PD Gene, and that one is for anyone who's diagnosed with Parkinson's. And then we have another one where we're specifically looking for folks who are Black or African American because the disease is a little bit different in different races. And so we're helping fill out the database with a nice diverse sample so that we can test everyone. That's actually part of a global effort because the genetic situation is pretty complicated with Parkinson's disease. It's not one gene. It's looking like it may be a combination of genes and environment, and so we need a really big sample. So if you're even a little bit interested, you can give us a call, look up the Center for Brain Health online, meet us at your health fair. We'll be there on October 30th. And we also have another health fair coming up. It's on August 16th. It's at the LSU campus. It'll have some speakers about symptom management and things, but there'll also be a lot of vendors with Parkinson-specific products. And, you know, we'll be there signing people up to do this test, so you can come and visit us. It's at the Center for Medical Education, which is at 1635 Jennings Street. And again, that's on August 16th from 10 to 1 p.m.
Well, I'm glad you announced that here. You need to give the information to me so we can put it in our magazine as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that's great. So what I'm hearing you say is, and what I think my listeners, what causes it? We're knowing about treatment, but we know is it environment you mentioned? Is it radiation? Is it something that you catch, I mean, that causes Parkinson's? I've always considered that. And you see people that get it, that they were perfectly normal, I hate to say this, normal before, then all of a sudden. So do we know?
There's probably a couple of different diseases. There's the early onset one that we know is different from the later onset one. The early onset one tends to be less, the decline tends to be less dramatic. Men get it more than women, and men have more severe symptoms. So it's a pretty complicated picture. It's probably a couple different things, and we think that we know there's environmental things like pesticides which can damage the neurons that produce dopamine. But it's going to be these different combination of genes as well. And we have a big group of genes that are risk factors, but they only explain about 10% of the cases.
Okay.
So we're, you know, job security. It's going to take us a minute to figure this out.
Okay. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana, Neighborston and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana, Neighborston and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show, our two guests, is Dr. Elizabeth Disbrow, who is the director of the Center of Brain Health and assistant professor of neurology at LSU Health here in Shreveport, and Dr. Harlene Carr, who is a physician and clinical assistant professor of neurology at LSU Health here in Shreveport. And they're giving us information about the latest in Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders. So thank you, ladies, for joining us today. So what I want to ask further is, you see these typical signs. Hopefully, the loved one. Do individuals self-diagnose themselves and think they might have Parkinson's, or is it generally a family member?
I think Google has a lot of information now, so people like to look up what they are going through. But I feel that patients do recognize their symptoms. And one of the things I feel with tremors is that they do get socially embarrassing for people. So that's one of the early things that the tremors disable them from, that, you know, not want to go out, not want to socialize just because their hand shakes and people are going to notice. So, yes, I do feel that they do recognize some of these early symptoms. But more than then, their family members recognize some of the walking challenges that they may have. So the shuffling, the trouble with turning, the turning in bed, and so forth. So, yes, the patients are able to recognize some of these early symptoms themselves.
Well, okay, that's what I've been thinking.
Yeah.
Some people are in denial, but hate to say this, my son's the physician. He says, "Dad, don't sit there and Google everything."
Exactly. There's so much information.
And now they have this. What is it called? GP or is it called
the AIs?
The AIs. Uh-huh. My word! It comes back and gives you a super analysis and keeps going and going and going. Exactly. You get addicted to it. I mean, I did.
That increases a lot of anxiety too, because you know there is so much information there. You don't know what is right, what is not, and where this is ending. So that can be very anxiety driven for
patients. It is. And we'll talk offline about that. So I'm sure my listeners are out there, is the use, what is used currently that is a treatment modality when somebody is diagnosed with Parkinson's? What happens?
So when someone is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, we don't have a cure right now for Parkinson's, but we do have medications to help with the symptom management, to help with their quality of life, to help with their overall functioning ability. And one of the oldest medications that's been there in the market since 1960s is the dopamine medication, the levodopa carbidopa. And all through these years, the things that have evolved is to find the best, the most smoothest version of this medication that would help them the best with their symptoms. So we do have a lot of new drugs, which are the finer version of this older drug, the levodopa carbidopa, just to help it better sustain in the body and to help it better help with the symptoms with Parkinson's disease. Apart from the medications, there are these newer versions of dopamine coming in the market. One of them is the pump. The pump is the latest version. It's a subcutaneous pump in which, instead of taking the medication in a pill form, the medication is subcutaneously delivered throughout the day, so it bypasses the gut and reaches the brain and helps with the Parkinson's symptoms. And there are other newer medications that came this year, which are longer-acting version of the levodopa-carbidopa, the original drug, and helps sustain better in the body and helps last better. So those are some of the medications that are available.
So there's a pump. Interesting.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Instead of taking the pill or the IV solution, this is going to inject...
In the pump.
In the pump.
In the form of a pump, yes. So it will be like a small pump, which will be attached to your, along your belly, and then it's going to subcutaneously deliver or intradermally deliver the medication. So the medication doesn't go through the gut, but it reaches directly the brain, and that helps with the better absorption of the medication.
So, Doc, how do you know what type of dosage or how much?
Yes, that dosage is different for everyone. No two people with Parkinson's are on the same medication, so they are on multiple different regimes of the medication. And that dosage has to be converted from what they were taking in the pill form to what they have to take in the pump form. Hmm. Yes.
And the success of this is much better?
This is definitely much better. And the reason for that is because Parkinson's effect, as I said earlier, it causes constipation. It affects the gut motility. And the meds get absorbed in the gut. So if they are constipated, if they take a high-protein diet, that can sometimes affect the absorption of the medication.
Oh,
so the whole purpose is for the medication to reach to the brain without having those fluctuations. So that's going to bypass that tract. So that is a pretty interesting thing, and studies have done very positive with that. So hopefully the pump will help to bring a lot of changes. And apart from that, people who are not able to tolerate the medications, or people who have a lot of side effects or fluctuations, what we call with the Parkinson's disease, we have what is called deep brain stimulation.
Oh, okay.
So deep brain stimulation is... a surgical procedure where they put two tiny leads in the area of the brain from where the Parkinson's start. It has the leads connecting to the chest just like a small pacemaker. It has a battery. It connects to that. And we can program that device. When we program that device, it helps with improvement of their Parkinson's symptoms, the stiffness, the slowness, the walking abilities, the tremor, so forth. So DBS has revolutionized a lot of the care for Parkinson's patients, especially people who are not able to tolerate the medications or having a lot of side effects, and DBS helps them through these symptoms. DBS is not just for Parkinson's. I've used it for dystonias. I've used it for tremors as well. So it really works very well for them too.
And we have a great surgeon at
LSU.
We do.
There's
a great program here. So this
Dr. Toms,
is available.
Yes. He does a fantastic job. He has a very good team. He will be there on the fair too, right? He's going to give a talk.
He's going to be one of the speakers at the health fair.
So there's a precise area in the brain where that those leads are put in there, right?
Exactly, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's some really technical surgical procedures right there.
Yes.
And it disrupts the malfunctioning neural communication. So there's an abnormal communication cycle that is resulting from this dopamine cell loss and everything, and then when you run a little bit of a current through that, it breaks it up, and so the tremors go away. It's like magic. I don't know if you've ever Googled deep brain stimulation and seen some of the videos, but it gives me the chills. I've been doing this for 30 years. It gives me the chills. It's like night and day. It turns all that noise down. And the person functions so much better.
So who's the candidates for this? Not everybody could get this, right?
Yes. So definitely depends upon what other health problems they have. But from Parkinson's standpoint, people who have a lot of tremors and people who are on these levodopa, carbidopa, or dopamine medications, and they have trouble tolerating the medications. Because as I said, no two people with Parkinson's are going to be on the same dose. The dose has to be calibrated at least 3 to 4 times a day and even more.
Wow.
So people who need more of these medications and people who have a lot of tremors, a lot of stiffness and slowness are very good candidates for the deep brain stimulation.
So the incident of that... What's the percentage of Parkinson's patients that have this, the deep brain?
The DBS? Depends upon what availability and what resources you have. But nowadays, I'm seeing at least 40 to 50% of the patients are going ahead with the DBS.
Oh.
So, and it works very well for them, even for younger onset too, because you have to be on these meds for a long time. DBS helps with the providing that constant stimulation, so providing that improvement with their symptoms without having the need to take excess medication.
So is this classified experimental medicine, or is it covered by Medicare and Medicaid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think it was FDA approved in the 80s.
Long ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it hasn't been heavily utilized?
It's been.
Okay. I've heard of it, but I have not heard of anybody that's ever had it. So that's interestingly a situation. So you need to get with your physician or yourself to see if you're possibly a candidate for that particular area.
Yeah. So there is a chain of events that start once we plan to enroll someone for deep brain stimulation. So one is you see the neurosurgeon, you talk to them, you discuss about what surgical procedure is going to undergo, what are their risks, so forth. And then afterwards, they come and see me or other movement disorder specialists, and we do like a small testing with and without the medications to see how much they have improved with the medications.
Oh, okay.
The studies say the chances are that the more you've improved with the medications, you're going to do well with the deep brain stimulation surgery as well. And then after that, they have to see a behavioral therapist or a neuropsychiatrist to do like a small memory testing to see what their baseline memory function is to keep a track of those symptoms too. We all meet once a month, me, Dr. Chunga, who's the other movement disorder specialist, Dr. Toms, we all meet once a month, discuss all our DBS patients, discuss what would be the right course, what would be the right target for them, and we move forward with these DBS surgeries. Mm-hmm. After they get the procedure, the surgery is done in two parts. After they get the surgery, within 4 weeks, they come to see us in the clinic, and then we program the device.
Okay, then you tweak it in case you need to be.
Yes.
Wow. So is it subjective or objective in tweaking?
It's all based on the clinical exam. So when they come to see, you perform baseline clinical exam, then you tweak the numbers up, and then you examine them again, and you should see improvement there itself while sitting in the room. That's quite fascinating.
Yep. Well, I'm glad we're having success in people who have had that disorder for so long and having some relief and better quality of life.
Definitely. Right?
Yeah, that's an important point because Alzheimer's, I mean, it's new, there's treatments coming down the pipeline now, but for so long there's nothing you can do. So it's sort of like, well, they're old, there's nothing we can do. There's a ton that can be done to improve and extend quality of life for Parkinson's disease. It's really important to see someone and get some treatment. It's huge.
That's great. Okay, so what are other treatments involved?
So apart from this, we also do Botox procedures.
What? Botox, okay.
Not for the fancy things, but for the medical purposes. So the Botox can be done for a variety of things. Botox has been done for spasticity that can be seen as a late effect from strokes. When people have strokes, one side of their body gets weak, and over the course of years, that body part gets rigid and tight. That's called spastic. So Botox works at calming down the muscles, relaxing the muscles. So we use this on the medical pathway to kind of relax those muscles by injecting those particular muscles. Mm. For Parkinson's disease, I've used Botox for drooling, or sialorrhea, what we call in medical terms. So we two shots on the right side, two shots on the left, and it helps with their drooling pretty well.
Wow.
Apart from that, Botox can be used for spasms in the eye, spasms on the face. It can be also used, if anyone has dystonias or neck posturing or head posturing movements. So Botox does help with those things too.
Wow. We never thought at Botox. I mean, all the ladies have been using Botox for many years, but I've never heard it being used clinically.
Yes.
I heard it using the eye.
Right? For migraine headaches, Botox has been there. I mean, Botox is there for a long time.
And lid problems? I mean, my neighbor is one of the doctors at LSU who's telling me Botox is used for...
Yes, the eye spasms.
Called
blepharospasm, where they constantly blink their eyes and have trouble keeping their eyes open. So you can do Botox around the eyes, and that can help with that.
Wow, what amazing.
And it's done once every 3 months, minimal side effects, so that helps.
So these and other treatments, the medical field is just coming up.
Exactly. Things are evolving.
Not just, I'm sure all around the world research is being done, right?
Yes,
because the incident of Parkinson's is not just in the United States. It's everywhere. In Europe and Asia, et cetera, right?
Yeah. There are about 90,000 cases each year for Parkinson's disease. So the number is increasing.
90,000?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's significant.
Yes.
So tell us any other particular treatment that we can.
So exercise is a big one, mm-hmm. especially, and also for prevention. One of the mechanisms for the cell death, for the cell, the neurons that die that produce dopamine, is that the energy powerhouse starts to fail. It's called the mitochondria. And when we exercise, we build more mitochondria in our muscles, but also in our brain. So we can keep that powerhouse going longer. And that's true for Alzheimer's. That's true for your brain in general.
You exercise.
Yes.
Keep those powerhouses going. Try to walk around the block. It doesn't have to be a marathon. Just stay active. Your brain will thank you. Yes.
Exercise is the key for Parkinson's symptoms. Helps with the stiffness. Helps with their other motor symptoms. We have some exercises specifically for Parkinson's too. Rock steady boxing. I think. YMCA has it, I think, in Ruston, Louisiana Tech has it. That really helps them develop their core. And then apart from...
Y and LSU,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apart from physical therapy, speech therapy also helps them. So because with Parkinson's, your speech gets soft. People sometimes have even trouble hearing you. So speech therapy helps with their voice modulation, too.
Didn't know about that symptom. Yeah. That's an interesting symptom. Okay.
So one of the things that we're doing together, because there's so much, is that we've started a multidisciplinary clinic. So if you come and see Dr. Carr or the other movement disorder specialist, you'll see her, but you'll also see some specialists in swallowing, and then you'll talk to somebody from my team when we do something called care navigation, where we help people figure out what are the best things they need to do, what are the resources, how do they get into the boxing, or maybe there's also dance for PD. And so it's sort of, we're trying to build a one-stop shop so that people
come in
and we talk about their medical and non-medical needs and we follow up with them. You know, some people have a hard time filing for disability or any of those things. So we're...
Good.
And I think it really helps because, you know, once I feel they have their first visit with the physician, and when they leave out of the room, there are so many questions that they have, right? So many things that come to their mind, and they get stuck until the next visit. So I think having a care navigation team really helps answer some of those things and direct those things. So we do have this Parkinson's early diagnosis Parkinson's care navigation team with Dr. Disbrit right now too. We do have it, I think, once a month on a second Tuesday. We are having it right now. So we have all these patients who are recently diagnosed with Parkinson's. They come to the clinic and they have one of the members from the care coordination team who they help answer most of these questions with Parkinson's disease. So that really helps, I think, level out that anxiety that comes with initial diagnosis.
And they have our phone number. In fact, if people are listening and they have questions related to what we're talking about, they can call us at the Center for Brain Health. Our number is 318-813-3610. So 318-813-3610, and we can get you hooked up with a care navigator if you're worried you might have Parkinson's or your loved one might have Parkinson's. We're happy to help with all those kind of questions.
Great. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 KEO, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Ebers Ten & Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 KEEL.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Ebers Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today are two important guests, Ms. Elizabeth Disbrow, who is a PhD and the director of the Center of Brain Health and the assistant professor of neurology at LSU Health here in Shreveport, and Dr. Harlene Carr, who is a physician and clinical assistant professor of neurology at LSU Health in Shreveport. So thank you, ladies, for giving us some very interesting and educational information about Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders. So in continuing, let me ask you, I'm not aware, Gary, you know, doesn't keep up with everything in the medical field these days. When he was a medical person many years ago. What are other movement disorders that you're that you as a physician examine or treat?
Yeah, apart from Parkinson's disease, there are other genetic movement disorders. One of the common ones are Huntington disease.
Yes,
Huntington disease is just the opposite of Parkinson's. Parkinson's make you slow. Huntington's make you more active. So the movements that you see with Huntington's disease are what we call as chorea or dance-like movements. So less like tremor, but more like a dance-like or a hyper movement. Mm. Huntington's disease can also have other issues, balance problems, mood problems, trouble swallowing. Those things can be seen. And Huntington's disease runs in families, so there has to be a lot of genetic education about that too. So I do see that, as I said, dystonias and Botox treatment for dystonias, that's another realm. And apart from that, there are other drug-induced movement disorders. Exposure to medications can sometimes cause some of the mouth movements, some of the hand movements, sometimes Parkinson's-like features, and we do help with treatment with that as well.
Okay, so there are other, most people think of Parkinson's only, but there are other
things too.
But I've heard the one of Huntington before for some reason. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
So again, let's emphasize, if our listeners out there need to mark their calendars to attend an upcoming
health fair. Saturday, August 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be having our Parkinson's health fair where we're going to talk about managing changing symptoms, but there'll be a lot of vendors there. We'll be there if you want to ask us some questions. And it's on the LSU campus. It's at the Center for Medical Education. So if you go in there, you'll see this brand new glass building with a big, easily accessible parking lot behind it. Good parking. Free, easy parking. It's at 1635 Jennings Street. So please come out and see us. You can register if you want to call 770-450-0792. And they will put you on the list. I think you get a free lunch if you register. So
nice.
That's always nice. And we also have, I'll just mention that we do have two studies that we're enrolling that are genetic studies. If you have any interest in that, if you have questions about the multidisciplinary clinic and you're worried that you or one of your loved ones might have Parkinson's, you can give us a call. Our number at the Center for Brain Health is 318-813-3610. It's 318-813-3610. And if we don't answer the phone, it's because we're out at a health fair, so leave us a message, and the message gets emailed to all of us. We are out in the community. If you go to a health fair, you may see us there too.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad. I love health fairs. I think it's important that people take the time and effort. It's like a one-stop shop. You're gonna gain from physicians and other clinicians and researchers, et cetera, that can help answer your questions and lead you to what you need to do. And you might want to mention, Doc, the earlier you diagnose a particular issue, the better, right?
Exactly, definitely. And I think it also takes away a lot of concerns that they may have with, developing of that symptoms, what's going to come in the future, what the future holds for them, their family members. So I think the early you diagnose, the better you're able to answer those questions, the better you're able to provide support to the family members and better help you treat the symptoms too. So definitely.
And the other thing I want to put kudos on LSU and other health physicians in the area, I hear people saying, well, I'm going to go to XYZ big city in New York or Chicago for my loved one to be treated. But really, we have the great medical team here that has all the skills and all the knowledge, even though those places up there probably have, thousands and thousands more patients, but are you going to get that individualized care? Huh?
Exactly, definitely.
Is that true?
Yes. I think in big cities, the wait time to see people is really long, which is something that we don't have here. So it's easier to get people be seen sooner than what it can be.
Because you have experience being in New York, right?
Exactly. I'm from New York, so it takes about 6 months to see somebody, even longer than that sometimes.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And we have an active research arm to our program as well, which means we're all up to date on all the latest things. We're all very excited about that.
Yes,
the team
yes.
is young, yes. and so you're not missing out on something new because you're in a small town.
Exactly.
And the researchers throughout the world, you know, collaborate. They contact each other, right?
Yes,
do network,
exactly.
And so it's good to share. And luckily, we're one of the people they share with, right? LSU
exactly.
is one of them.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of this report in Bossier City area that has LSU.
Yes.
Medical school and LSU hospital here as well. So anything to add to our discussions about Parkinson's disease? So it's one person I think asked me, is it hereditary? If your family member had it, or is it possible? Is it hereditary?
In some forms it is.
Yeah, the likelihood is fairly low. Only about 10% of the people who have one of the genes that we know about have it passed on.
Oh.
We've been doing this for a while where we've been doing these genetic tests and we haven't seen any links yet. So it's not like Huntington's disease. It's
runs
we understand. Yeah, it runs in families. We understand where the mutations are on the particular gene and the genetic link is very strong. In Parkinson's disease, it's much more diffuse and mm-hmm. doesn't tend to be in families unless you have one particular mutation. So most, probably 90% of people have what we call sporadic Parkinson's disease, which means we don't know why. It's not clearly genetic. So that's why we're collecting all these blood samples.
And one last question. When a person visits with their family physician, do they do initial Parkinson's screens or do they just observe the patient or how do they do an initial evaluation?
That is a great
yeah.
question because we've been going to some primary care providers and asking that question as well. And we've come up with a checklist. And so we're going to start
Good.
Distributing that in the community. So if you go to the doctor and he asks you or she asks you a couple of weird questions about your movement, it's that checklist and they're checking to see if you might be at risk for Parkinson's
yes.
disease.
Okay, I'd love to see that.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Well, again, thank you for joining us today. It was quite informative. I know my listeners out there found it. So one more time, mention the phone number if they have any questions or want to deal with y'all.
Yes, please call us with any questions. Our number is 318-813-3610, 318-813-3610.
Well, thank you again. Y'all were wonderful. Gave us a lot of great information.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times, both today and every day. Have a great day.